lonely night, the agony, the crying in Gethsemane. The Lord of life would face his death, and willingly God's wrath accept. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. The Roman scourge, the mockery, the hanging curse on Calvary. The Lord of life pursued his death and satisfied the sinner's debt. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. The brilliant light, the stone removed, the echo of his empty tomb, the Lord of life had banished death. In fatal sting, a vacant threat. The greatest love, the sacrifice, the triumph of the cross of Christ. The Lord of life demands my death, to live for him with every breath. Still the cross, it's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. It's still the cross.
Amen. Thank you. What a great song and what a great truth. It is still all about the cross and what our Savior has done for each and every one of us and what he continues to do as he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Psalm chapter number 50. Psalm chapter 50. And then in just a moment, after we read Psalm 50, we will go to Psalm chapter 52. Well, I can tell you this. I appreciate those that were able to step in while I was gone last week. And I do not like to be gone from our church. And I am grateful for the privilege to preach. It's been probably 4 years since I was back at this church preaching, and it's a good church, much like our church here, and their pastor is a good friend of mine, and so we have a lot in common, and the pastor there and me, we traveled Neighborhood Bible Time together many years ago, and God brought our paths together, and we struck up a friendship, and while I'm there, they always want me to tell things on the preacher, you know. And so, of course, one time when I was there, I told them about the time that we were at a church in, I think it was Georgia, holding a rally, kind of like Vacation Bible Schools. But they gave us a car. Now, you have to understand how young. I was 20. He was probably 20 years of age. So they gave us a car to drive for the week. Well, the problem with the car was it was an old police car is what it was. And it had a V8 engine in it, man. I'm telling you, it was nice, you know. And a car the preachers need to drive, you know. But I remember one night late, it was at church, and they had a gravel parking lot, all of that. And Chris was driving, and I told the church this story. I said, he was driving, and he stomped it, and we started doing donuts in the, the gravel, all of that there in the parking lot. The next morning, we got to the church, and the pastor of the church said, well, I'll tell you, look at these teenagers out there. They're doing donuts in our parking lot. And I said, man, that's terrible, you know, just like that. And I said, it was you, man, you know, after we got done. So that was some of the stuff we got into, you know. So he told me later, he said, my foot got stuck on the gas pedal. I said, yeah, right, you know. So his church gave him a hard time. He told me, he said, he picked me up from the airport on Saturday, and he said, I was trying to find a fast Mustang that I could pick you up in. And he said, but I just couldn't do it. I said, I'm glad you didn't, you know. So, but it was a blessing to be there. But I'll tell you, as a pastor, I love to be here, and I thank God for you. And I'm praying that God would do a great work in our heart this morning. Today, as we come to Psalm 50, I want to compare a phrase in Psalm 50, and then we will stay in Psalm chapter 52. Because today I want to preach on this subject, the mighty God and the mighty man. Before us today, especially in our society, we see the mighty men of today. They're loud, they're brazen, and it almost seems like sometimes the wicked are winning. But today I want to show you the mighty God. By the way, the mighty God has all might. Man just thinks he has might. Man thinks he has power. Man thinks that he is somehow escaping God. But as we come to Psalm chapter 50, I want you to notice, and if you have a pen in hand, I want you to underline some things today. I pray that this message will encourage all of us. We hear the news. We watch the news. We might read the news. It seems as if this world is just going by the wayside day by day. It almost seems as if the wicked are winning. But I want you to remember today that there is a mighty God who is in control of everything in this world. And one day, all of us, including myself, we will stand before the mighty God. If you know Jesus as your Savior today, you will stand in His presence redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But if you are here without Christ and you stand before God, then you will be cast into the lake of fire. We understand that. But, Pastor, what about all the mighty people of the earth? They set themselves up as mighty. They set themselves up as power. They set themselves up as if they have great strength and power. But today I want us to bring our attention to the mighty God, His power, His greatness, and His goodness. We come to Psalm chapter 50. We begin in verse number 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Though thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Look back in verse number 1, and I want you to underline the mighty God. Now let's go to Psalm chapter number 52, if you would please. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to give you the background behind Psalm chapter 52. But in many Bibles, you have a little paragraph there right under the chapter. In my Bible, this says, talking about a Psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Now, I'll read the story in just a moment, but I think it is helpful. David, throughout his life, dealt with the mighty men and the mighty God. David dealt with Saul, who was a mighty man, the king. And yet Saul was not living as God would have him to live. And David struggled with the mighty man, but he had to turn to the mighty God. In all of our lives, we will deal with mighty men that maybe we fear, that maybe we sense that they have power and authority over us. But today I want to bring our attention to the mighty God, the one who rules and reigns, the one who sits on the circle of the earth, the one who is really in control today. You know, if we're not careful, we look at the mighty man. We look at the men in our country, and we look at men around us, the wicked. It seems as if they are winning. It seems as if they get by with all their evil deeds. But oh, today, let us look at the mighty God, because He has all power and all might. We come to Psalm 52, and David here speaks and he says this, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" Would you underline that? Because we compare the mighty God to the mighty man. He says, "The goodness of God endureth continually." Verse 2, "Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." Selah. "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living." Selah. "The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." Now, David is referencing something here. He is speaking about the mighty man. Who is he talking about? He is talking about Doeg, this Edomite. Now, please understand that when David was on run for his life, Saul was wanting to kill David. Saul lied about David. Saul deceived people about David. And David was just seeking to live for God. You know the story, how that Saul became so envious and jealous of David that he just believed David had to die. And David is on his, life journey, and he is seeking to protect himself. David's got men with him. He's got his own family with him. But there's a day that David shows up in a place, and because of David's presence, people die there that day. Let's take our Bibles, because I want to show you the background behind Psalm chapter 52. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 21. If you'll go back in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 21. We're going to read the first seven verses, then we're going to go to chapter 22. Because I want to show you what David was dealing with. Now, please understand, David is writing in Psalm 52 about the mighty man. He thinks he's so powerful. He thinks he's so wise. He thinks he's above God's judgment. He has no fear of God in his eyes. And yet David says, I want you to know, mighty man, your day is coming. You will stand before a holy God. And David has to get his mind wrapped around the thought of the mighty God. You know what? Today we can get so distracted because of the mighty men of this earth. We can get almost cynical about earth and about our world in which we live in because we are looking at the mighty man. We are looking at the wicked. We are looking at them. It seems as if nothing happens to them. Remember Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes? That's what he talked about. He often said, it seems like the righteous people, the Christians are living for God, and yet all kinds of trouble comes to them. And the wicked, they're wicked, they're godless, they are against God, and yet it seems as if they seem to win. But I want you to know today that we serve a mighty God. I know a mighty God. He has all power. Let's come, if you would please, in 1 Samuel chapter 21. We begin in verse number 1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? Now you can understand, everybody knows that David is running for his life. And David shows up to this priest. Now, please understand, it's not a priest as we might call a priest today. These were preachers. These were men of God. We read on in verse 2, and David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. And what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in a vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. Now we won't read on, but let's go to chapter 22 and let's begin in verse number 18. Now please understand, Doeg was a friend, was a servant to Saul. And Doeg saw David. I mean, they're hunting David. They're looking for David to kill him. And Saul sent men everywhere as spies to try to find David. And Doeg is there that day, and he sees David. Now notice what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Let's begin in verse 18. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons, 85 priests that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the sons of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now let's take our Bibles and let's go back to Psalm chapter number 52. As you're turning there, I want to give you the background of what has happened. Here is David. David is running for his life. He is fleeing for his life. And David comes to this priest, to Ahimelech, in the city of Nob. And David is there. He's hungry. He's got men with him. And he asked the priest for some bread. They give them hallowed bread, the show bread. And David eats it. I did not read this portion, but there David didn't even have a sword. And Ahimelech had the sword of Goliath. Now think about it. David had killed Goliath. And that sword was still there in that city. And he gave him the sword of Goliath. It really belonged to David anyway. And David and his men left. Now remember, this wicked man, Doeg, was there, the Edomite. And he saw all that transpire. He went straight to Saul. And he told Saul what he had seen, and he saw David. So here comes Saul and his mighty men. They show up on the scene, and they are there, and they begin to talk to Ahimelech. They begin to say, "Why did you not keep David here? You don't know that I am trying to kill this man, and this man is wicked," and all these different things. So guess what Saul did? Saul commanded his men to kill those 85 priests. In fact, when Saul gave the command, no man would do it because these are priests. These are men of God. And yet Doeg took his sword and he slew the 85 priests, their wives, their children, and their livestock. What a terrible thing took place that day. And David pins the words to this psalm in Psalm chapter 52. Let's look at it closely today because, number one, I want to show you the conflict between the wicked and the righteous. Do you know what is going on in our world today is the conflict between the wicked and the righteous? Do you know what the wicked wants? They want rid of the righteous. They want rid of God. They don't want God anywhere. They don't want the name of God. And especially the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. They want God erased out of their memory. You say, "Pastor, what is going on in our world today?" It's the conflict of the wicked and the righteous. We must understand today that there are mighty men everywhere, and they have power, and they have authority, and they set themselves up as wise, but their wisdom is against God. In fact, God says that their earthly wisdom is nothing but foolishness in the eyes of God. Are they winning? No, they are not winning. David here, he feels terrible that David even went to the city of Nob. He feels like it is his fault that these priests have been killed. And yet David pins these words and he says, "You think you're a mighty man, but one day you will meet a mighty God." Look, let's go back and let's notice a few things here in Psalm chapter 52. I want you to look in verse number 1. He said, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." Now, please understand something. We are referring to the mighty man and the mighty God. By the way, man's might is nothing in the eyes of an almighty God. Man thinks he has power. Man thinks he can do whatever he wants to do. Man thinks he can defy a true and a living God. But can I tell you something? He is the mighty God. Folks, today, the man in this psalm sets himself up as mighty in opposition to the mighty God, the almighty God. And by the way, there are so many so-called mighty people of the earth today. But I want you to know there is only one almighty God. In fact, back in the book of Genesis, I won't turn there, but in chapter 17 and verse 1, the first time that God revealed himself in this way, he was speaking to Abraham. And he said to him, "I am the almighty God." May I read to you? You just can listen in Revelation. And the Bible tells us in chapter 1, in verse number 8, and I want you to listen to this. This is the Lord speaking. He said, "I am Alpha and Omega." He's the beginning and the end. And he goes on, "The beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Folks, I want you to know something. The God that we serve, the God that we pray to, the God that we are following is the Almighty God. He has all power. He knows all things that are taking place. And the mighty man may be in conflict with the mighty God. But I want you to know that we think sometimes that the wicked are winning. But today, I want you to know you are on the winning side. It has already been won. The victory has already been won. And folks, we've read the end of the chapter. And I want you to know something. Our God is the Almighty God. God's people today need to remind ourselves of this truth continually, that in the face of mighty people, we belong to the Almighty God. There is a conflict that is going on today between the wicked and the righteous. I pray today that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you are the righteous. We are to live righteously in this wicked world, but we are part of the righteous. Notice that David said here, verse 1, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" He said, "The goodness of God endureth continually." Now, I love that phrase there, the goodness of God. Folks, David was saying, you think that you have wiped out God. You think that you have somehow escaped the wrath of God because of your deed against these 85 priests, these innocent people and their children and their wives. I believe David was saying to them, do you think that the Lord does not know what has happened? That God does not endure? That God does not continue? Folks, I want you to know something. The mighty man will die here on this earth, but the Almighty God will live forever. We need to know today that He is the Almighty God and His goodness endureth continually. You know, sometimes in life we go through trials and we go through troubles. And sometimes special circumstances in life cause us to ask the question, is God good? Does His goodness endure continually? Does His goodness last? And I want you to know today, the goodness of God, you can never exceed His goodness. You can never exhaust His goodness. His goodness will always endure continually. And even though in our world today, it seems as if the wicked are winning. It seems as if the mighty man exalts himself against God. But the goodness of the Almighty God endureth continually. And in fact, I know I should probably hasten along from this subject, but I must show you something. Would you go to Psalm chapter number 107 as we talk about the goodness of God? In fact, do you remember David in Psalm 23 when he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David also said in Psalm 27 verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In fact, in Psalm 31, David said, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that trust thee. Folks, today, never forget the goodness of God. Never forget how great God is to you and how great God has been to us and how great God will be to us. God's goodness is never changed. God still has all power. He still has all might. He still has all authority. And He is still working salvation in the midst of this earth. You know, sometimes we can get so almost tunneled vision to everything that is happening around us. We look at this world and we think, God, where are you in the midst of all this? We almost think, God, it seems as if the wicked are winning. But His goodness endureth continually. Even though this world, there is not much good in this world, the goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 107, I love this chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to read a few verses because the psalmist talks about God's goodness. Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his, what's the next word? Goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. We'll read on in just a minute. But folks, do not forget. Do not get blinded to the goodness of God, because he is good to you and me day in and day out. And the goodness of God, oh, it endures continually. And the Bible says his wonderful works to the children of men. Let's read on. Verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his, what's the next word? Goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Go to verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Go to verse number 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Today, I do not want to become so distracted by the evil society in which we live in. And by the way, folks, I do believe we are living in the last days. And the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But please don't forget that in the midst of the evil that is abounding, God's goodness endures continually. For you, for me, for our families, for our church, for day by day. Listen, we still have a God that we can pray to. We still have a God that we can trust. And we still have a God that loves us and is working in our lives. He is the good God. And today, I just want to praise his holy name for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh yes, the conflict is between the righteous and the wicked. But I love it that David said, mighty man, you think that God does not know. You think that you set yourself up before God. But the goodness of God endureth continually. Let's go back, if you would, to Psalm chapter 52. And I want to show you some other things that we see here. Now, by the way, the goodness of God, it endureth continually. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that God's goodness leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you know that there have been times in my life as a Christian when I have become so overwhelmed with God's goodness that it has brought me to a place of repentance? Not a repentance from my sin in order to be saved, because I'm already saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. But it is a change of mind. It is a change of heart. It draws us close to his presence. Oh, you for the unsaved. Repentance is to repent of their sin of unbelief. This is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. But for the child of God, it is sins of disobedience to Christ that must be repented of. But the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. You know, this past week when I was preaching the revival, and on Sunday morning last week, I preached and gave forth God's word. And a man that the church had been praying for 5 years to be saved walked the aisle and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I talked to the man afterwards, and he said, I'll tell you something, God was speaking to me the whole service. And in fact, when I gave the invitation, I mean, I think he almost ran to the altar. Because, can I tell you something? When I saw all of that take place that day, when I saw God work, that's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God to save men from their sins. It's the goodness of God to convict our hearts. It's the goodness of God to forgive and to cleanse. That should lead lost men to repentance, but it should lead saved men to a change of heart and to repentance as well, to where we dedicate our lives to Christ and we want to honor God. We want to live for the Lord like we have never lived for the Lord because of His goodness. David focused on the goodness of God. Let's read on in verse number 2, and I want you to notice what David began to say. He said, verse 2, "Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully." You know, in the conflict between the wicked and the righteous, the tongue is always being used as a sharp razor in a deceiving way. And by the way, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Folks, can I encourage you and can I remind you to guard what you say and what you talk about? Now listen, pray before you speak. Think before you speak. Daily I pray, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Folks, more is done to cause damage and harm with words than any weapon of war. And may God help us to understand, they're using their words. And that's what Saul did when he came to that city. He said, "You have done wrong because you did not give David up." And Doeg, he used his words. He used his words to lie about the city and lie about David. Oh, folks, we must understand that there is a conflict between the wicked and the righteous. Number two, we see the calamity that comes to the wicked. Now look back in verse number 3. It says, "Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." That's the wicked. They love to lie. They love to speak what the Bible says. They love to speak evil. But look what it says in verse number 4. "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." And then what David does, he gives four characteristics of what God will do to the wicked. Now folks, let me say this to you. We should not look at this list with joy. We should not look at this list and say, "Yep, that's good. I'm glad they're going to get their just reward. I'm glad that they're going to get paid for what they have done." Because I do not believe that's how God looks at the wicked. God knows that they need the Savior. And folks, can I tell you something? That wicked man, whomever he may be in your life, at job or your neighborhood, or whomever he or she may be, they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I want you to know something. Because of the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, there is a calamity that is coming to the wicked. Let me give you these four simple things that God tells us. Number one, the Bible says that God will destroy them forever one day. Look in verse number 5. "God shall likewise destroy thee forever." Now, David is writing about Doeg. He's writing about these mighty men. They think they're so powerful. They think they're so wise. But David says, God one day is going to destroy you forever. Now, this word "destroy" that he used here means there is going to be nothing left. Nothing left. It is like an explosion or a wrecking crew has come and torn everything to pieces and there is nothing left. And David is saying to the wicked, one day God will destroy them forever. But number two, notice not only that God will destroy them, but look what it goes on to say. Number two, God will take them away. It says, verse 5, "God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away." You know, recently I was witnessing to a man and I was glad to know that he knew the Lord as his Savior. And he said, "Sir, I'm so thankful that you tell others of Christ." He said, "I know the Lord and I thank God to be part of the family of God." And he looked at me and he said this. He said, "Pastor, you know, it's terrible what is going on in our world and society today." He said, "But you know what? I think there's more of us than really what we know that there are." And I believe that. Folks, there's always a remnant of God's people. No matter what is going on, there is a remnant. There's always people that know and love God. But you know what the man said to me? He said, "I just think the wicked are very loud." And you know what I thought to myself? He's exactly right. In fact, in a sense, David is saying God's going to take them away. By the way, these wicked, they make a lot of noise. They attract a lot of attention for a while. They cause much damage, but one day God is going to take them away. Have you ever been in a grocery store before? And maybe there's a little child in there, and that child did not get its Fruity Pebbles or something, you know. He asked for something and mama said no, and that was the wrong word to use. And he begins to scream and cry, and you think to yourself, please take him away, you know. Well, can I tell you something? It is a little bit that sense. The wicked are screaming. They're crying out against God. They cry out against the righteous. They want nothing to do with God. But one day, not only will God destroy them, but he will take them away. Number three, the Bible says that God will pluck them out of their dwelling place. Let's read on in verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. Now this word pluck is an interesting word that the psalmist uses. And the picture here is someone reaching down and pulling up. And notice this, with a twisting motion. It's a twisting motion, removing something completely with suddenness. Have you ever seen what a tornado will do? When we had moved away from Illinois, we had only been here maybe 6 months, and a tornado came through right near where we lived and where our church was. There was a church family in that church that when that tornado came down, it twisted and it just destroyed everything. It took it away. It was gone. They had things in their home that they still do not know where they're at. It's gone. But brethren, one day God is going to reach down and pull and twist and pluck them out of thy dwelling place forever. Number four, the Bible says that God will root them out of the land of living. Let's read it again, verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Now, by the way, that word Selah there, these psalms were songs that people sung. And Selah was stop the music and consider and meditate on it. Now, listen to me very closely. We can get so hindered by what the wicked are doing. And the devil lies to us about the wicked. The devil lies to us about it's not worth serving God and, you know, the wicked are winning. They get by with what they do. Folks, no one gets by with their sin. No one. And the wicked seem as if they are so anti-God, and they are. But here the psalmist is saying there is a calamity that is coming to the wicked. It's coming to them. Folks, the wicked and the righteous will always be in conflict. But calamity is coming to the wicked. Thank God that mercy is coming to the righteous. Thank God that His love and that His grace is coming to the righteous. Folks, we do not rejoice that there are people that will die and spend eternity in a Christless hell. But we do rejoice that God is almighty and that God is always victorious. We do not rejoice in the wicked. We are seeking to win the wicked. We are seeking to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if they reject that God who loved them, who gave His Son for them, they will spend eternity in hell. Folks, there are men and women today that are so vile and so wicked. And honestly, for me, I have a hard time even understanding how wicked they can be. How hypocrites they can be. How godless they can be. But let us focus not on the mighty man. Let us focus on the mighty God. The God who will deal with the wicked one day. Folks, He is the righteous God. And one day God will set everything right. The calamity that's coming to the wicked. Thirdly and lastly, not only do we see the conflict between the righteous and the wicked, the calamity to the wicked, but thirdly, the conquest of the righteous. What about us now? What do we do in a midst of a society? By the way, you know, we're still dealing with the COVID situation, but we know certain parts of even the United States where men came in, wicked men, who said, no, you cannot have church. You're not allowed to meet in church. And we know there was battles, and we thank God some of those have been won in the Supreme Court about churches being allowed to meet together. And you know something, folks, the wicked just appear to be winning. But the conquest of the righteous, let me tell you that our mighty God goes before us, and there is conquest that God will give to us. Notice in verse number 6, let's read on here. The Bible says, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Now please don't get the wrong idea about this laughter. This is not a laughter of, I told you so. It is almost this laughter is that they are thankful that there is a God who is the mighty God. It is a laughter of joy for the mighty God, not a laughter of joy against the wicked. But it's a laughter of joy that our God is the mighty God. He will prevail and He is in control. But I want you to notice something, what it says. The righteous shall see and fear. Now please understand this. How do we, should we respond to the calamity that is going to come to the wicked? How do you respond today? Folks, by the way, you can tell a lot about the condition of someone's heart when we see things happen to others and we do not fear God ourselves. You know, I remember as a young person, I remember seeing young people that were wicked and seeing God bring judgment upon their life. And can I tell you what it caused me? It caused me to fear God. It caused me to see that there is a God who does see, and there is a God who knows all things, and it should cause us to fear God. By the way, folks, there is a greater fear that we should have that removes us from all lesser fears. I understand there may be a fear of the mighty man. There's a fear of him. David had the fear of Saul. He had the fear of those men. But David feared God, and that gave him relief from all lesser fears. The greater fear today is the fear of God. It removes the fear of man, and it enables us to conquer. It enables us to move forward for what God has given us to do. By the way, when they laughed, this is a rejoicing in heart that God truly is on the throne and that His goodness will endure continually. Would you notice also that, folks, we do live in a day of wickedness, a day of horror. We hear often of what human beings have done to other human beings. And I ask myself the question, is there no fear of God before their eyes? But you know something, we can watch the news and we can hear about what parents have done to their children and what someone has done to their neighbor, and we're appalled by it. And we say, do they not fear God? But we need to ask ourselves the question as God's people, do we fear God? Are we allowing things into our lives that we know dishonor a holy God? We do not fear God. Folks, can I tell you this? When you allow something into your eye gate, something into your ear gate, and you're involved in something that is direct disobedience to God, you do not fear God. You don't fear Him. You know, I'll be honest with you. There was things I didn't do as a kid because I feared my parents. You say, why'd you fear them? Because my mom and dad spanked us as we were young. I thank God for that. That is a biblical way. We don't spank in anger. We spank in love, but we do it because that's the Bible way. And you know what? I feared my dad. I mean, I feared my mom. My dad spanked. My mom was a little irrational in her spanking. I mean, I was really afraid of my mom spanking, you know. And, you know, she just spanked everything, you know, around her, you know. I just happened to be a part of that, you know. But, hey, I'm going to tell you something. I feared that. As a kid, I was like, Mom, I'm not doing that. There's judgment to come. There's wrath. My mama's wrath, you know. But can I tell you this, on a greater scale, should we not fear a holy God who does not judge us out of anger, but judges us out of love? And by the way, brethren, today, if you're a child of God and you get out of line with the Lord and you do not correct yourself, if you do not judge yourself, God will judge you. The Bible says He will chastise you. There's a chastening that comes from a loving God because we head in that path of disobedience, and it's a path that will lead to destruction, and we will hurt the very name of Jesus Christ. Do we fear God? We read on here in verse number 7. Notice what the Bible says. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. Doeg, he didn't make God his strength. That's the mighty man of this world. They don't make God their strength. They don't need God. At least they think that. Mighty men are all about us who have not made God their strength. We read on. But trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Is it not amazing that it seems as if the wicked, they strengthen themselves in their wickedness? They grow deeper in their wickedness. They grow deeper in their disrespect of a holy God, their disdain for a holy God. But they are strengthening themselves. But the Almighty God has not changed. The Almighty God is not cowered down in heaven somewhere. Oh, listen, we might look at the mighty man. Let's get our eyes on the mighty God. We read on here in verse number 8. David said, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Now, why is David saying this green olive tree in the house of God? It's a symbol of health. It's a symbol of strength. David was saying, in a sense, everything around me is crumbling, but I am like that green olive tree in the house of God. God is taking care of me. God is meeting my needs. He has promised never to forsake the righteous. God, the Bible says, his ear is open to the righteous. He will deliver the righteous. He will take care of the righteous. And folks, today, in the midst of the wickedness of our society, let us remember that our God loves us. Our God takes care of us. He is the righteous God. He is the Almighty God. But how are we to live? Look what it says here in the last part of verse number 8. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Folks, when there is something going on in my life or in the life of someone that I love, I can pray believing God is going to bring something to pass and God is actually going to work on their behalf, and I can thank him for it. David looked at all that happened with Doeg killing all those men of God and their wives, their children. Can you think of it? And David is saying, I don't understand it. It seems as if the wicked are winning. But he says, I know that in the midst of all that is happening, I can trust in a God who takes care of me, a God who is working all things together. And you know what we must do simply? We just must faith our God day by day. We must believe in him. You know, the ideal is that David is believing by faith in what God will do in the future. And what God is doing now in the present. He is believing by faith. In fact, he uses this passage. Notice what it says in verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. David uses the past tense, thou hast done it, believing that God is going to do it. You know what David was doing? In faith, he was saying, God, I know it hasn't happened yet, but by faith, you are the God of the future. You have done it. That's faith. That's saying, I don't see it, but God is going to bring it to pass. Faith says, I believe that God, who is the unseen, is working in the midst of what is going on in my life. By the way, folks, this is the way that God expects all of us to live, trusting him and believing him. We are to wait by faith. And by the way, waiting on God and believing God is often very difficult. You know what we want to do? We want to explode and talk to someone and straighten someone out. We want to take things in our own hands. But let us wait on God. He will enable us to conquer. He will enable us to conquest. And by the way, who is this mighty man here in the book of Psalm, chapter 52? Well, in this Psalm, in chapter 52, the mighty man is Doeg, the Edomite. He's using his tongue deceitfully as a sharp arrow or razor. He is doing harm to people. He thinks he is a mighty man, but God is going to bring him down. But folks, the true mighty men of God are the men and women who trust in the Lord, who praise the Lord. They wait on the Lord and they tell others about the Lord. Today, you may say, Pastor, I'm dealing with the mighty men of this world. Pastor, I'm so beat down. I'm so discouraged by the wickedness of this world. Then let's look at the mighty God today. Let's trust Him. And let's draw nigh to Him. He is the one who protects us. He is the one who enables us to conquer and to have conquest. But today, can I tell you this? In God's eyes, I want to be one of His mighty men. Do you know that Saul had mighty men, but David had mighty men as well? They were not the mighty men of the wicked. They were the mighty men of the righteous. You know something today? We often think, boy, the wicked, they're just growing stronger and greater. But oh, there's a God who is in total control. Today, let's get our eyes on the Almighty God. In fact, 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Today, let us humble ourselves. Let us draw near to the Almighty God and trust Him and believe Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You today that You are the mighty God. Lord, we live in a world today of mighty men, that they're wicked. And it almost seems at times that the wicked are winning. But Father, thank You that we can trust You. Lord, help us to be like the green olive tree in the house of God. Help us to be healthy and strong in our hearts as we know that, Lord, You are in charge. You sit on the circle of the earth. You reign supreme. You have all authority and all power. Oh God, we thank You and love You today. But Lord, help us to walk in Your fear. Guide us, we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest this morning and say, Preacher, I have struggled lately with just almost thinking that the wicked are winning. And I've been discouraged about what is going on in our world or in my own personal life. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Preacher. That's me. Amen. Well, today, I want to encourage all of you and so many of us. You have a mighty God. He has not surrendered His authority. He will work things together. How many would say today, Pastor, I have something, maybe a family member, maybe a co-worker, maybe something I'm dealing with, and it's the wicked. And it seems almost that they are winning, and it seems as if there's nothing I can do. And today God has dealt with me that our God is able to work in the midst of the wickedness around me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me, Preacher. That's me. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? And I want to finish in this prayer and then let's do business with the Lord. Let's let Him have His way. Father in heaven, Lord, I don't want to get my eyes on the mighty man of this world. I want to rejoice. I want to praise, and I want to magnify the mighty God. Lord, I know there are folks here today, I'm sure, that deal with what they think is just humanly impossible. But may they know that You are the Almighty God. You have all power. You are able to do all things. Lord, let us trust You. Let us fear You, and let us tell others of Thee. Lord, we know the calamity that's coming to this world. Lord, help us to reach as many as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and let's go to hymn number 496. Today, if God has dealt with you, leave your seat and come to this altar. Maybe you'd like to come and bring something that you are dealing with. It might be a mighty man of this world. Bring it to the Lord. Leave it at His feet. He's the judge. Remember this, shall not the judge of the earth do right? And the answer is yes. He's the true judge. Trust Him for it. Let's sing together. Hymn number 496, I Surrender All. Very easy in our life. The devil just thinks, I mean, he acts like he's winning, but he's already a defeated foe. You know what the end of the devil is? The lake of fire for all of eternity. Think of that. And may God help us to look at the mighty God. He's able. He can do all things, and he's on the throne, and he will do what is right. May God help us in a special way. Now tonight, I'll continue the series on our behavior in the Church of the Living God. And I want you to be here tonight, 6 o'clock right in your place. And ladies, we have that shower for Laura near, and a wedding shower for her, and what a great blessing that is. And I pray that you can be a part of that. My wife and I would like to greet you today on the way out, and Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for this sermon. Thank you for fighting for us. And Lord, we are weak in and of ourselves, but Lord, when we look to your power and your strength, we can rest assured that you're on our side. Lord, thank you for saving us, and thank you for all the blessings and the benefits of being a child of God. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we go throughout this week and give us safety on the road. In Jesus' name, amen.